will be in Revelation chapter 2 this morning, and I'll be reading verses 18 through 29. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 to the end of the chapter. And unto the angel of the church at Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine bronze. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou allowest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searcheth the minds and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But woe unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken in shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we do thank you for the reading of the Scripture this morning, and pray that you will bless it to our hearts and minds, that you will open our hearts to the understanding of the Scripture, as the Holy Spirit is able to minister it to us, and that you will bless your word. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we have the church at Thyatira. As we have been looking through these seven churches, we find that this church is the fourth church in the grouping of the seven churches, which message has been given unto them as John, St. John, has received this revelation, if you will, of Jesus Christ, of these seven churches, and of course the subsequent things that would take place in the book of Revelation. The church of Ephesus being the first, the second, the church at Smyrna, the third, the church at Pergamos, and the fourth, the church at Thyatira. You may have remembered in your Bible study a certain woman named Lydia. Well, she was from this particular area, and she was called a seller of purple because purple was a cloth, a dyed dye that was used on cloth, and she sold purple cloth. And so this city was also a city of commerce and of industry. And we find of Lydia, when she came to faith in Christ, the Lord opened her heart. And so it is that God does that kind of work to bring people unto himself. But let us look at the church here at Thyatira for a few minutes. Some interesting, perhaps, things about it is that Thyatira is 40 miles southeast of Pergamum. And Pergamum, or Pergamos, was not too far from Smyrna, and Smyrna not too far from Ephesus. And so they were kind of in a semicircle in the Asia Minor area, and not too far from the Aegean Sea, not too far from the ports of entry where ships would come in. And so it was situated in an area of agriculture. It was situated in an area of import and export. And so it would naturally have a great deal of commerce going on. And so in keeping with the things that speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find here in the reading that it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The Son of God. And so let's look here at verse 18 to begin with. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass or bronze. Now, the description, of course, here is to remind us that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is God. That is, he was sent from God the Father into the world. That he was born of the Virgin Mary. That he was conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. And that he came to die for the sins of the world. And so here is Jesus speaking to the seven churches. He is walking among the seven golden lampstands. Now you may remember that the seven golden lampstands are the seven churches. That is, they possess a light. And that light, which is a lamp in figure, is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is that the churches are shining forth the light of Christ. Each one of these churches is to shine forth the light and the gospel of Jesus Christ, even as we are here. And I hope and pray that this morning you are all here for that reason, because you know the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the message of salvation. You know the truth that only through grace and by faith are you saved in the name of Jesus Christ. And so this light was to shine forth. Here is the church at Thyatira. Here is the church that was to shine forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Son of God speaking to the angel of the church in Thyatira. And if you're a little confused about the idea of an angel and a church being connected, the word angel here means messenger. And the messenger of the church at Thyatira was not a heavenly angel that came down and was preaching at the church. Rather, it was the pastor or minister of the church, and he is called a messenger. And sometimes the word angel is used to describe a messenger, or one who is sent by God to deliver a message. And in this book, in the book of Revelation, we find what is called apocalyptic language. We find certain types, certain language which is used, which is a little bit difficult for us to immediately understand. But because it is talking about events that happen at the end of the church age, we find in this apocalyptic book that it uses this kind of language. A lamp, which signifies a church, an angel, which signifies a messenger, and so on. And we'll find many types like this or many figures like this which are used in the book of Revelation. But coming back to the church at Thyatira, we find here that the Son of God addresses this church by name, Son of God. In other words, there's no question about who is addressing the church. If Jesus were to send us a letter and he would say, "This is the Son of God and I am writing to you," you would know immediately that it's talking about Jesus. And so that's the kind of impression that this revelation to the church at Thyatira was to receive. This message is from Jesus unto the church. And secondly, we see here that there is something wrong in the church at Thyatira. And so we find that as we look at verse 19, it says, I know thy works and love and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. So though there are some commendations, there are some things they were doing right, as we would hope that all churches are doing something right, that they're not completely off the record in everything that they are doing, we find that this church was doing some things that were good. There were good works. There were acts of love and charity which were being displayed. There was service unto Christ, that is, ministry that was going on. There was faith and patient endurance of the believers. There were those who wanted to be at that church, who wanted to serve the Lord, who loved the Lord with all their hearts, who believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and they did truly act in a way which was honoring to God. But because the message is coming to a church collectively and not to just one individual, then this message is also going to point out some who were not doing and following the Lord as they should. And that's where the idea of rebuke comes in here in this particular message. And we see that happening beginning at verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou allowest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants. And so a person is introduced here, a character, if you will, and keeping in mind that an apocalyptic book sometimes borrows from other places in the Bible to describe or to depict a certain thing which is going on, we find the word Jezebel is being used here. Now, if you are acquainted with the Old Testament, you know Jezebel was the wife of Ahab, and she was the daughter of Ethbaal, who was the worshiper of a Baal, who was a false god, idolatry, if you will. And we find that Ahab was the king of Israel. What business did Ahab have in marrying a woman who was a worshiper of idols? You see, there was an incompatibility there, to say the least. They were unequally yoked together. One who is supposed to be a believer and one who is not a believer at all, one who is an idolater. And this woman, Jezebel, was a very strong personality. She was a very demanding woman. She required that Ahab do exactly as she said. Even though Ahab was the king, he was a weak king. He did not follow the Lord very well at all. And sometimes people don't like that they don't follow the Lord very well. But Ahab had a lot of problems. And if you will, Jezebel was part of that problem, but not altogether, because Ahab did not honor God, and he was judged for it. But we find Jezebel, and she is a character in the Old Testament, borrowed, as it were, placed here in this account, saying there was somebody in that church who called herself a prophetess, but she was likened unto Jezebel. She was not that Old Testament person, but she was called that because she was like that kind of the person in the Old Testament. She was leading people off into a direction which was not honoring to God, if you will. She promoted idolatry, and she promoted the kinds of immorality that went along with the idolatry of the day. And there were many temples, of course, of idols in that region, in Asia Minor. And many were worshiping at those temples, and many were committing acts of immorality at those temples. It was part of their temple worship to do those things. Now remember, where does all this come from? Well, we find that it's very easy to look at the passage and see where it comes from. It comes from Satan, as it were, from the idea that the evil one, the one who tempts and seduces others, is involved in this woman's prophecies, if you will, and to use another word, teachings. In other words, she is not teaching the Word of God, she is teaching a false truth of the Scripture, and she is causing her servants, those who are following her, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and we find that she would not repent of this. And Jezebel, by the way, in the Old Testament, did not repent of it either. But she was judged. She was thrown down off a high wall area, and she was killed because of her judgment that fell upon her. That's another whole story. But you can look that up in the Bible and read that for yourself. But here we just want to focus on this area of rebuke. I think it's interesting that we note that each one of these churches had, all but maybe one, had some problems. And this particular church had a serious problem. Let's read on just a bit more in verse 22. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, God is gracious. God is gracious. God is saying to the church at Thyatira, he's saying, I don't want to judge you right now. There are many things that you as a church are doing that is right, but there are some things that are not so right. There is this woman who is causing great problems in your church. She is teaching false doctrine. She is leading others astray. And I want you to know this, and I want you to encourage these people to repent and stop what they are doing. Don't do it. Don't follow the world. Don't follow the idolatry. Don't follow those who teach false doctrine. He is basically saying to them, stop it, turn around, and quit this kind of activity. If you do not, you will be judged for it. And now, that is a pretty good motivator, I would say, when one understands that Jesus Christ is talking. And of course, in the world today where we live, there are many pursuing these kinds of things. They might be called differently. Certainly the immorality of our day is very prevalent, and we would have to be blind and deaf not to know it. And there are many who are being challenged to live different lives. And as churches, we definitely should be encouraging people to follow Christ and to live for the Lord. We should be challenging them to turn away from sin wherever it might be, whether it is some personal idol that they are worshiping or people that they are worshiping. My heavens, we hear that phrase all the time, American Idol, and they don't mean it unimpressively, because these same people make much of themselves. And we see many people who are following others and believing that they somehow have the answer. There is only one true God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yet we find many other things are promoted in our world today which have nothing to do with Christ and maybe truly called idol or immorality. And we find that great tribulation will fall upon them as surely as this church in Thyatira. Now, as we're looking at this church and what the Word of God is saying about it, verse 24, but unto you I say, unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. So what is the Lord doing here now? He's saying, there are some of you who have nothing to do with this woman Jezebel, with this false teaching, all the pursuits which are being promoted. And I put no other burden upon you, but that you might remain true and faithful in service to God. But he is giving a very strong rebuke unto those who are following this woman. In fact, he is calling her teachings. I'll say that again. He is calling her teachings the depths of Satan. In other words, Satan perverts the word of God. Satan often takes the Bible, takes something that is supposed to be good. God made Adam, God made Eve, God joined them together. They became one flesh, they became man and wife. They were not to be separated, but rather to procreate children, to have children, to fill up the earth with children. But we find not soon after that every imagination of the heart was only evil continually from the time of Adam to the time before the great flood. That period of time, though it is maybe undetermined as to exactly how many years apart those two events were, yet we find that the world had turned very immoral and that every imagination of their heart was only evil continually. Which causes us to reflect upon the culture of our own world today. And there is much that may be described as every imagination of the heart is only evil continually. The church at Thyatira was to turn away from such things, such teachings as were called here the depths of Satan. In other words, Satan teaches much that is contrary to the word of God. Evolution, do you think that's taught in the Bible? No, I don't think so. Immorality, is it promoted in the Bible? No. Fornication, is it promoted in the Bible? No. Is it promoted that a man should marry a man in the Bible? No. Is it promoted that a woman should marry a woman in the Bible? No. Well, we could go on, couldn't we? But we don't have to, because we know these are the depths of Satan. These are the kinds of teachings that are perverted because man listens to someone else rather than to the Word of God. And so here we have a church which is being told, there are some of you that are not doing what you need to do. You need to repent. You need to turn back to the truth. There are others of you who are doing what you are supposed to be doing, and I would add no other burden upon you but that you might continue faithfully. Verse 25, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Well, see, here is a good encouraging word to us, isn't it? All the Lord really wants us to be is faithful servants. What is required of a servant? That a servant be found faithful. That is what is required of a servant. Not that you know how to do everything as a servant, but that you be a faithful servant. What does he require of these who are faithful at the church in Thyatira? He says, hold fast till I come. Remain steady. Keep believing. Keep having faith. Keep loving God. Keep serving the Lord. Keep doing the things you know to do that are right and good in the sight of the Lord. Just hold fast. Because the Lord is going to come again. And so even in our generation, when we find that sometimes we wonder just what is going to happen next, what does the Lord want us to do? Hold fast until I come. Keep faithful. Keep serving. Keep persevering. Keep believing the truth that you know to be right and good and living it out. That is what God wants us to do. Verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. In other words, there's a reward at the end of the day to those who serve God. They will become his servants fully and completely in the millennial kingdom, if you will. But at the end of the age, we will serve God fully and completely as God designs that we might serve him. In verse 27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And so Jesus just reaffirms something here. He says, I received a command of my Father, and I am doing it. And God has given to me the nations. In other words, God has given to me to be a true king over the hearts and lives of people, even over the nations of the world. And God is going to fulfill all those things that he has required, because God has given me that from his very throne. Verse 28, and I will give him the morning star, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Two last things before I close. The reward which God gives to his servants is a reward which is through eternal life. The morning star is the brightest star in the sky in the morning. It is perhaps the last star to be seen. It is the brightest. Jesus is called the bright and morning star. Who are you looking for? Are you looking for the bright and morning star that will appear? You see. And those who are overcomers by the blood of Christ, those who are believing by the Lord Jesus Christ, will see the coming of the morning star. They will see Jesus finally to come and to put all things under his feet, all things under his rule, as it were. And then he closes with this statement, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. These things are confirmed not because I say so, but because the Spirit of God says so in his word. And you can hear the Spirit of God when you read the word of God. When you receive the word of God, the Spirit will speak to you and confirm these things upon your heart. Each of us need to have the confirmation of the Spirit of God from his word. And so remember his word. Remember that Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. To know Jesus is to know his word. You can reaffirm it. You can rehearse it upon your hearts just by reading his revelation, by being with those who fellowship in like faith, by studying the teachings of the Word of God. God will confirm all these things upon your heart to know them to be true. Listen to the Spirit of God. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for these thoughts this morning and pray that you will bring them to our hearts afresh. Help us to remain true and faithful unto you until you come, and listen to the Spirit of God, that we might be preserved unto the day of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.